It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Welcome, welcome. Happy January 18th, 2021. This is Marcus, and my sleep patterns are all crazy, but that's okay. You're listening to News to Me, a live news show, where every day, Monday through Friday, so I guess every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 1900 UTC, and that's on anonradio.net. So thanks for tuning in. Because we're live, you can interact on comm. Really, any show, even pre-recorded ones, you can interact on comm. But in this one, I will... Radio? Hello? You go into comm. You just SSH over to SDF, type comm, hit enter, that's C-O-M, and then you press G for go to and type anon radio, and you'll end up in the comm radio room. And big shout out, thanks for tuning in, Publius and X1 and Localbox. Hell yeah, and Harry Larry too. Pretty rad. X1, yeah, I think I got everybody. Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in. I was up until... Hi, Miko XYZ. Yeah, so, because I'm off of work today, it's MLK Day, and so my job gives us that day off, but since it's quarantine, usually it'd be day of service day and go out and volunteer somewhere, but I'm not gonna go out in public anywhere where there's a crowd, so... Here we go. Let's go ahead and do some news. And we start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. We're going to put it in a blender and see what comes out. So, let's go ahead here. And, sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. We're going to start with a mining story. We're going to try and avoid too much COVID news because... We already know. It's terrible. The U.S. is drowning in it. The rest of the world seems to be getting better. Trapped Chinese miners send note, sparking hope for rescue. 12 miners have been trapped underground after an explosion in a Chinese gold mine a week ago are still alive. They sent back a note saying, "Don't stop trying to reach us." When rescuers seeking signs of life lowered down food rations taped to a cable wire. A telephone connection has now been set up. The fate of another 10 men missing after the blast remains unclear. Mining accidents in China are not uncommon and are often due to poorly enforced safety regulations. Point out, this is coming to us from the BBC.com. The 22 were trapped at the Hushan mine near Yantai in eastern Shandong province on January 10th after an explosion damaged the exit and the communication systems of the mine, which was still under construction. They have a photo of the note. And I don't know. I think that it's neat to see handwritten, like, real Chinese versus all the well calligraphy, all the nice calligraphy or fonts on screens. Because, wow, it's so much different. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, Publius. Hey, welcome, Exile. Yeah, usually coal mines are the ones that blow up. Gold mines, usually, at least what I know is, usually gold mines are got a lot of arsenic and they're just kind of like spraying chemicals into the mountainside and just dissolving the gold out of it and just leaving behind arsenic and all sorts of other crap. Alright, so those are those guys. If we go to Guatemala... A group of U.S.-bound Central American migrants has been met with truncheons and tear gas in Guatemala, where security forces blocked their path. Thousands of people were intercepted on a road near the border with Honduras on Sunday. The government said it will not accept illegal mass movements. An estimated 7,000 migrants, mostly from Honduras, have entered in recent days fleeing poverty and violence. They hope to travel on to Mexico and then the U.S. border. Every year, tens of thousands of Central American migrants attempt this perilous journey to try and reach the U.S., often on foot, in groups known as caravans. President-elect Joe Biden a Democrat, has vowed to end the strict immigration policies of his predecessor, Donald Trump. But the Biden administration, which will take office on Wednesday, has warned migrants not to make the journey, as immigration policies will not change overnight. As the migrants trekked across Guatemala towards its border with Mexico, they were slowed down by security forces near the southeastern village of Vado Hondo. A group of soldiers and police officers blocked a road, stopping many of them from advancing. Some people still attempted to force their way through, prompting some security forces to push them back. Several people were injured. There's a dramatic photo showing just a huge sea of people. What I would note is that the police are pushing back this huge sea of people. There are people along the edges of the road just kind of watching, but a large portion of the crowd are wearing masks. There are some that aren't, but even this migrant caravan fleeing death and destruction, most of them have masks, and even the police, a lot of the police force seem to be wearing masks. So that's really cool. Oh man, I keep feeling like I'm going to sneeze. My allergies are real bad today. Hey. So let's see what we've got here. Ugh, sorry, I'm going to mute real quick. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. So let's keep on rolling. There's so much news. There's never enough time. Kremlin foe Navalny, we've talked about him a lot. He's being held in pretrial detention. And according to Reuters, Moscow tells the West to butt out. A Russian judge remanded Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny in pretrial detention for 30 days on Monday for violating the terms of a suspended jail sentence, ignoring calls from Western countries to free the opposition politician immediately. The ruling, a day after police detained him at the airport when he returned to Russia for the first time since being poisoned last August, could be the prelude to him being jailed for years. Moscow's prison service has applied to convert a suspended 3.5-year embezzlement sentence in the same case, which he says was trumped up, into real jail time early next month. He faces three other separate criminal cases, too. The United Nations and Western countries told Moscow before ruling to let Navalny go, and some countries have called for new sanctions after earlier penalties from the EU over its poisoning. Moscow told them to mind their own business. Navalny, in a video released on Twitter after the ruling, urged Russians to protest. "Don't be afraid, take to the streets. Don't go out for me, go out for yourself and your future." So, very exciting, or I don't want to say exciting, but there's a lot of movement happening over there. So hopefully he survives the 30 days in jail waiting for trial. But all signs are kind of pointing that he's not going to survive. So, RIP. Speaking of not surviving, police find 12 bodies dumped on a road in Mexico's Veracruz state. 12 people believed to be members of a self-defense group were killed in the western Gulf state of Veracruz and their bodies dumped on a dirt road, local authorities said on Monday. The bodies were found with their feet and hands bound, according to local media, citing a police report on the incident in the volatile Las Chapas municipality. The area is about 363 kilometers south of the port city of Veracruz. The Veracruz security minister said in a statement the victims were executed, and early reporting indicates they were members of self-defense groups, which have sprung up in Mexican regions riddled with drug cartel violence. I'm not sure how to say this name. I'm going to put it in calm, and I'll try and spell it. But the first name is Cuitlahuac. So, Mr. Garcia, the governor of Veracruz, said initial reports indicate a split in one such self-defense group led to the violence. The abuses and threats between them caused a confrontation and had this unfortunate outcome. Self-defense groups are common in some parts of Mexico where authorities have struggled to bring about law and order. So, thanks you for that news from Reuters. And don't click the Japanese whenever you're looking at Reuters. I got taken to a Japanese language version and I was like, oh no. Let's try and reload that page. Sorry, my nose is so funky. Oh, sorry, I'm gonna blow my nose again. So sorry about that, y'all. I should have taken some allergy medicine or something, but we'll keep on going. Nicolas Maduro is sending oxygen to help tackle Brazil's COVID crisis. What is that? Venezuela's strongman president, Nicolas Maduro, has sent an emergency shipment of oxygen to his country's border with Brazil in a politically charged gesture he said was to help alleviate Jair Bolsonaro's public health disaster. In recent days, the Brazilian state of Amazonas, which borders southern Venezuela, has been plunged into coronavirus chaos for the second time in a year. Last week, COVID-19 patients reportedly died in the state capital, Manaus, after hospitals ran out of oxygen amid a surge in infections and death. Since then, civil society groups, celebrities, and the Brazilian government have been scrambling to get life-saving supplies to the remote riverside metropolis. Maduro, who enjoys a toxic relationship with Brazil's far-right president, announced his aid offer on a Sunday night broadcast. Venezuela is reaching out to the people of Amazonas in solidarity, and we hope this oxygen reaches the people of Brazil fast. The trucks are on their way. He said a state television aired images of a convoy supposedly heading to the border town of Santa Helen de Urien. Maduro said Brazil was facing an alarming situation in the face of Jair Bolsonaro's public health disaster. So, pretty interesting it's good that they're helping each other, but the fact that they're taunting each other, it sounds kind of like a movie, doesn't it? I thought that was kind of cool. Oh man, France 24. Well, at least they made it easy. One of the things is I like to get my news from foreign sources or at least European sources sometimes, because they have much better cookie policies on those sites. So it's a lot easier to opt out of tracking cookies or third-party cookies and have the site still work. So Michelin, this is in France, and I thought this was kind of neat. Michelin awards first star to vegan restaurant in France. A vegan restaurant in the French Southwest on Monday won a Michelin Guide star, the first for an establishment serving only animal-free products. Products in France. Claire Vaille runs the ONA restaurant in the city of Arles near Bordeaux, which she launched in 2016 thanks to crowdfunding from supporters and a loan from a green bank. "I feel like I got hit by a train," Vaille told AFP about the moment she received a call from the guide Michelin on Thursday informing her of its decision. In addition to the classic star award, Vaille also won a green star, which Michelin introduced only last year to reward establishments with a strong record for ethical practices. ONA, which stands for Origin Non-Animal, Animal Free Origin, is the first vegan restaurant in France. Yeah, so pretty cool. So anyway, I thought that was neat. It's just kind of an aside, not really super newsworthy. But watch out, Belarus in the news again. They've been stripped of ice hockey world championships. Yeah, this is more just how low can you go. Belarus was on Monday stripped of its role as co-host of the 2021 Ice Hockey World Championship over growing safety and security concerns related to both the rising political unrest and COVID-19. Belarus had been due to co-host the event with Latvia in May and June, but ice hockey's governing body, the IIHF, that's India Hotel Foxtrot, said the decision to move the world champs from Minsk was unavoidable due to safety and security concerns. Yeah, and the Michelin Guide is put out by Michelin Tires, because, yeah, it's a guide for people. It's encouraging people to drive around. So it's kind of funny when you think about it. This restaurant, highly coveted restaurant award, is put out by a tire company, and the tire company's goal, express purpose, is to get you to drive more and wear out your tires faster. Anyway, I enjoy it. We are about halfway done with the show, which means that we are 15 minutes or so away from the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That show happens every day at 19:30 UTC, and it's a good time. So you should definitely check that out if you are so inclined. Or if you've got time, it's fun to listen to. And then, since today's Monday, you also got Harry Larry After Tobe. There's a good block of shows from 1900 UTC till usually 2100 UTC Monday through Friday. I think Tuesday's the only day that there's not a show after DGC. All right. Well, we're going to do this. I think we're going to do this. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to go through some U.S. news. Let's see what we got here. Oh, Mother Neff. Yeah, Publius always has some great information. So it's an added bonus if you're in comm during the show. You can get a little. It's neat to get extra context about things. Anyway, let's go ahead and play a song. We're going to play something with a little bit of energy because, well, I'm feeling low energy, so that's how you do that. This song is called Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes, and it's by a band called Propagandhi. Change the beat, I'm at the gust of sin. Now to last parade, the dinner went to cover size and breaks. Turn off this finish, let it come back in heretics. The nail that sticks up gets hammered down. The master's finest, his finest tools are found. Slack drawn, placid, amidst a cacophony of screaming billboards and Disney bodies don't. Sometimes the ties that bind are strange. No justice shines upon the cemetery plots. Mark Hampton Weaver or anime where federal heroes and fraternal orders have cast their shadows. Permanent features built into these borders. But on the cover of the customary gap we find between history and true founding fathers. Back in the rockets, blinding red glare, the bomb bursting in air. One nation indivisible. But the truth is, the backcountry learned of ratification. The people had a coffin painted black. Solemnly born in funeral procession, they buried it deep in the earth. Internment of their public liberty. And someday, somewhere, today's empires, tomorrow's ashes.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, that is correct. We've got about 10 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee and the end of the show, so please stick around. Let's go ahead and talk about some U.S. news. I don't have any specific tech news, so no time for tech news today. All right. Well, first up, U.S. Capitol lockdown's been lifted. Fire nearby contained. What? I wasn't aware that there was a lockdown. But, yeah, the U.S. Capitol complex was shut down for about an hour on Monday out of an abundance of caution after a small fire broke out nearby, underscoring security jitters days before Joe Biden's inauguration. The Capitol Police and a statement said the lockdown was lifted and the fire nearby was contained. The lockdown follows the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of outgoing President Donald Trump, some calling for the death of Republican Vice President Mike Pence as he presided over the certification of Joe Biden's November election victory. Capitol Police earlier said that as a precautionary measure... Come on, this is... Reuters, you disappoint me. Disappoint me so much. There's literally no news in this whole thing. Just that the lockdown was lifted. No reason why the lockdown was lifted, what the fire was about. Yeah, I wish that we could have I think nuclear power just needs to have kept up with the times. The U.S. has all these nuclear power plants that were built in the 50s, and it's like, come on, or the 60s, whatever. And it's like, we need to get with the program, make those cool, was it tritium, those little tiny, the little micro reactors? Or maybe we can just jump to green power and avoid nuclear altogether. Nuclear waste is hard. I know Publius is a big nuclear power fan, and I'm just like, I'm not sure what to do with all this waste, and that's what I'm worried about. All right. Let's keep on moving. Sorry, I just kind of aside it there. Pro-gun demonstration set for Virginia Capitol in wake of Capitol siege. Gun rights activists will converge on the Virginia State Capitol on Monday for an annual demonstration that falls in an especially tense time this year. Lobby Day has authorities on alert in Richmond, about 110 miles south of Washington, D.C. Lobby days take place in highly polarized climate following a year in which anti-racist and white nationalist demonstrators clashed across the U.S. as a strident Trump supporters cling to hope he can remain in power. Nationwide pro-Trump demonstrations scheduled for Sunday largely fizzled after the FBI issued warnings and several states deployed the National Guard. "We're showing up to remind them that we're still here," a guns rights activist who identified himself as Trevor told Reuters outside the Virginia State House. Virginians traditionally petition their lawmakers on Lobby Day at the start of the state's General Assembly, with the pro-gun Virginia Citizens Defense League taking a leading role in recent years. Other groups, include the anti-government Boogaloo movement, will attend Monday, as could liberal demonstrators. Lobby Day always falls on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a national holiday honoring the civil rights leader assassinated in 1968. So, we'll see how that goes. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to start screening or skipping a lot of Reuters stories that are domestic, because these are so information, I don't know, what's the opposite of information dense? They have so many words and so little information. And it just agitates me to no end. Reuters staff. And then the pro-gun thing was written by two people. Julia Hart and Julio Cesar Chavez both have their name on this. And there's nothing. Speaking of the Capitol, a woman may have tried to sell... What? I'm having a spell. U.S. law enforcement's investigating whether a woman took a laptop computer or hard drive from U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office during the January 6th riots, siege, whatever you want to call it. An FBI agent disclosed the detail in an affidavit released on Sunday night that outlined a criminal case against Riley June Williams, a Pennsylvania woman accused of unlawfully breaching the Capitol building and directing people to Pelosi's office. The theft of electronic devices from congressional offices has been a persistent worry following the siege by supporters of U.S. President Donald Trump. Acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin said after the attack that some of the thefts might have potentially jeopardized what he described as national security equities. According to the affidavit filed with the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, the FBI received a tip from someone who stated they were a former romantic partner of Williams. Tipster said Williams intended to send the computer device to a friend in Russia, who then planned to sell the device to SVR, Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. According to the tipster, the transfer of the computer device to Russia fell through for unknown reasons, and Williams still has the computer device. Williams could not be reached for comment. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Yeah, incursion. That sounds pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty wild. All right, 5 minutes to go. Let's do some more fun stories. Let's be less serious. Del Monte $20 bill set to sell for nearly $60,000, barring. So this is a very rare printing error, making this note a collector's item. And basically, what happened was it was a $20 bill that was running through the line, and it has a sticker from a piece of Del Monte fruit from Ecuador on the bill. Officially, it's classified as an obstructed printing error with retained obstruction. In reality, it appears to be a simple slip-up. $20 banknote, which had a sticker from a bunch of bananas attached to it before it was overprinted with security numbering, is now up for auction at a Texas dealer, the rare error elevating its worth to $57,500, almost 3,000 times its face value. The so-called Del Monte banknote is unusual and so valuable because the sticker is still affixed and clearly shows a serial number and U.S. Department of Treasury seal printed over it. Most obstructions fall off shortly after printing, leaving a blank area on the paper, lacking the design, but errors with objects that stick to the note and inner circulation are very rare. When the note was printed at the Fort Worth Western Currency Facility, it went through the first and second printings normally before the Del Monte sticker found its way onto the surface. Seller continued describing the misprint as one of the greatest paper money errors in history. Yeah. So this is this is kind of interesting. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with this. All U.S. banknotes printed since 1968 go through three print stages. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing, which manages paper money for the U.S. Treasury, says on its website, the colorful banana sticker bearing the words Ecuador Del Monte Quality and the number 4011 would have been added after the first two stages, printing the front and back of the note, but before the final print that added the security logo and individual identification detail. Because of this, Heritage said, most would conjecture that this error note was no accident and probably the result of some very bored or creative BEP employee. Banknotes produced in Fort Worth have been found with Band-Aid, paper fragments, scotch tape, and wood shavings attached. Misprinted banknotes are prized by notophilists, those who collect paper currency. Currency featuring overprints, mismatched serial numbers, misalignments, and missing ink regularly sell for hundreds of dollars on eBay. So, very neat. I thought that was kind of cool and was at least a nice distraction. Of course, other domestic news that you might want to be aware of. Biden said to cancel the $9 billion Keystone XL pipeline, but Pipeline 3 running from Canada through treated Native American indigenous lands is still going strong and people are still protesting. And what else? Yeah, that's pretty much it. We're kind of out of time, so there's not really enough time to do a whole other story. But definitely be sure to check out your news sources and get news in your day. Yeah, I'm sorry. I stayed up until like 5:30 this morning, and so then I fell asleep, and I woke up at noon, and I was like, oh no, what's going on? And my home server keeps beeping at me. I just, nothing is working out, but that's okay. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check out anonradio.net, and Tobe will be coming up here in a few. Here we go. Here's the outro.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.